Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 4, chapters 23 through 25. Chapter 23. Concerning Dionysius, it must first be said that he was appointed to the throne of the episcopate of the Diocese of Corinth, and that he communicated his divine industry ungrudgingly, not only to those under him, but also to those at a distance, rendering himself most useful to all in the general epistles which he drew up for the churches. Among them, the letter to the Lacedaemonians is an instruction in orthodoxy on the subject of peace and unity, and the letter to the Athenians is a call to faith and to life according to the gospel. And for despising this, he rebukes them as all but apostates from the truth since the martyrdom of Publius, their leader, in the persecution of that time. He mentions that Quadratus was appointed their bishop after the martyrdom of Publius, and testifies that through his zeal they had been brought together and received a revival of their faith. Moreover, he mentions that Dionysius the Areopagite was converted by the Apostle Paul to the faith, according to the narrative in the Acts, and was the first to be appointed to the bishopric of the Diocese of Athens. There is another extant letter of his to the Nicomedeans, in which he combats the heresy of Marcion and compares it with the rule of the truth. He also wrote to the church sojourning in Gortina, together with the other Cretan dioceses, and welcomes their bishop Philip for the reputation of the church in his charge for many noble acts, and he enjoins care against heretical error. He also wrote to the church sojourning in Amastris, together with the churches in Pontus, and mentions that Bacchylides and Elpistus had urged him to write. He adduces interpretations of the divine scriptures and mentions by name their bishop, Palmas. He gave them many exhortations about marriage and chastity, and orders them to receive those who are converted from any backsliding, whether of conduct or heretical error. To this list has been added another epistle to Kenosis, in which he exhorts Penitus, the bishop of the diocese, not to put on the brethren a heavy compulsory burden concerning chastity, and to consider the weaknesses of the many. To this, Penitus replied that he admired and welcomed Dionysius, but exhorted him in turn to provide at some time more solid food, and to nourish the people under him with another more advanced letter, so that they might not be fed continually on milky words, and be caught unaware by old age while still treated as children. In this letter, the orthodoxy of Penitus in the faith, his care for those under him, his learning and theological understanding, are shown as in a most accurate image. There is, moreover, extant a letter of Dionysius to the Romans, addressed to Soter, who was then bishop, and there is nothing better than to quote the words in which he welcomes the custom of the Romans, which are observed down to the persecution in our own times. This has been your custom from the beginning, to do good in manifold ways to all Christians, and to send contributions to the many churches in every city, in some places relieving the poverty of the needy and ministering to the Christians in the mines, by the contribution which you have sent from the beginning, preserving the ancestral customs of the Romans, true Romans as you are. Your blessed bishop, Soter, has not only carried on this habit, but has even increased it by administering the bounty distributed to the saints and by exhorting with his blessed words the brethren who come to Rome, as a loving father would his children. In the same letter, he also quotes the letter of Clement to the Corinthians, showing that from the beginning it had been the custom to read it in the church. Today we observe the holy day of the Lord, and read out your letter, which we shall continue to read from time to time for our admonition, as we do with that which was formerly sent to us through Clement. The same writer speaks as follows about the falsification of his own letters. When Christians asked me to write letters, I wrote them, and the apostles of the devil have filled them with tares by leaving out some things and putting in others. But woe awaits them. Therefore, it is no wonder that some have gone about to falsify even the scriptures of the Lord when they have plotted against writings so inferior. Besides these, there is extant another letter of Dionysius to Chrysophora, a most faithful Christian, in which he writes to her, suitably imparting to her the proper spiritual food. Such are the facts about Dionysius. Chapter 24 of Theophilus, whom we have mentioned as bishop of the Church of the Antiochians. Three elementary treatises are extant, addressed to Autolycus, and another with the title Against the Heresy of Hermogenes, in which he has quoted the Apocalypse of John. And there are also extant some other books of his on instruction. Heretics were even then no less defiling the pure seed of apostolic teaching, like tares, and the shepherds of the church in every place, as though driving off wild beasts from Christ's sheep, excluded them at one time or by rebukes and exhortations to the brethren, at another by their more complete exposure, by unwritten and personal inquiry and conversation, and ultimately correcting their opinion by accurate arguments in written treatises. It is clear that Theophilus joined with the others in this campaign against them from a noble treatise which he made against Marcion, which has been preserved until now with the others that we have mentioned. His successor in the church of the Antiochians was Maximinus, seventh from the apostles. Chapter 25. Philip, whom we know from the words of Dionysius as bishop of the diocese in Gortina, also made a most excellent treatise against Marcion. Irenaeus likewise, and Modestus, who excels beyond the rest in exposing to everyone the man's errors, did the same. And there are many others too, whose works are still preserved among many Christians. Here ends book 4 and chapters 23 through 25, and we'll move on to some notes and commentary. These chapters continue the record of some of the noted second century bishops and writers that were mentioned in book 4 and chapter 21. Chapter 22 had to do with Agesippus, and now he's continuing. In these chapters, he is talking about Dionysius of Corinth, Theophilus of Antioch, and Philip of Gortina, which is on the island of Crete. Chapter 23 describes the ministry of Dionysius of Corinth, who wrote many letters to the churches. Kirsip Lake notes that none of these are extant, but the letters listed by Eusebius include one to the Lacedaemonians, a letter to the Athenians, in which he says, talks about Dionysius the Areopagite of Acts 17, having been the first bishop there. He also makes mention of a bishop named Publius who was martyred, and how the church had entered into declension spiritually after his death until Quadratus became their bishop. He mentions a letter to the Nicomedians in which he opposed Marcion, a letter to Gortina in Crete on welcoming Philip as their bishop, a letter to Amastris in Pontus mentioning their bishop Palmus with teaching on marriage and chastity and backsliding, a letter to Kenosis with exhortations to the bishop Panitus, and he also describes an interesting charitable exchange among Dionysius and Panitus, and a letter to the Romans and their bishop Soter. A quote is offered from the letter in which reference is made to the good works of the Romans, noting how they ministered to Christians in the mines. Kirsip Lake says the mines were constantly used by the Romans as convict establishments, as work in them was regarded as unfit even for slaves. And you wonder if there were Christians who were consigned to work in the mines, or did they have a ministry to those who were prisoners and even less than slaves working there? Maybe both. Eusebius also notes that Dionysius made mention of a letter that they had received in Corinth from those at Rome, whether that was First Clement, or he mentions a theory from Kirsip Lake mentions a theory in the notes from Harnack that it might have been Second Clement, and maybe that would have been a letter written by Soter. And then he also makes mention of a letter that was written to a Christian woman, Chrysophora, on Dionysius writing to her about giving her proper spiritual food. Then in chapter 24, he describes the ministry of Theophilus of Antioch. He is said to have written a number of elementary treatises to one named Autolycus, and another work titled Against the Heresy of Hermogenes, alongside other writings. Theophilus is especially commended for fighting off heretics. He drives them away from Christ's sheep like they are wild beasts. And he notes that he was succeeded eventually by a bishop named Maximinus, who was the seventh from the apostles at Antioch. In chapter 25, there's a brief description of the ministry of Philip of Gortina in Crete, who, like Irenaeus and Modestus, wrote a treatise against Marcion, the heretic, the arch-heretic Marcion. In conclusion, we see that Eusebius in these chapters is continuing to trace and to commend these bishops who were writers and defenders of orthodoxy against heretical teaching in the church. Well, this brings this episode to a conclusion. Hope this has been encouraging and edifying, and we will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.